Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 1. A time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. The next voice that you will hear after special music will be Elder Pedro McKnight, and I enjoy you to receive the blessing that God has prepared for you.
Good morning, happy Sabbath.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I'd like to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day weekend. Amen. I'd like to give a brief testimony here quick before I get started. I was thinking about doing it, and even though I've been praising God all week, I think that sometimes you need to share with your brothers and sisters in Christ the good things that God has done that you're thankful for. Last Sunday, every other Sunday, Helen works usually on her recent schedule, and it's an opportunity for Michael and I to be iron chefs in the house, and we cook dinner on our own. Well, I had a question about something I was cooking, so I called my mom, and she was joking with me on the phone. Well, last Sunday evening, I got a phone call from my brother that my mom had been rushed to the hospital. And you never know what life's going to bring you. So Jacob told me what had happened. She felt lightheaded. He was at the house, him and my sister-in-law Maria were at the house. And she felt lightheaded. She didn't feel comfortable, so they rushed her to the hospital. Make a long story short, she had took a battery test on Sunday evening and Monday, and it all came back negative. Amen. And I did some praying last Sunday. My mom was very shy. She's bold, but she's shy. And she really wouldn't want anybody to dote over her. But I'd just like to ask you to please remember my mom in prayer. And I thank God that she's feeling good. She's a gardener. She's been outside a lot. Anybody ever been to our house in Rochester? Tons of flowers, tons of roses and hydrangeas and everything. But the doctor told her, said, Mrs. McKnight, you have to stay hydrated. So I'm not quite sure what it was. At one time, we thought it might have been a mini stroke because of some of the symptoms. But I talked to her yesterday, and she said all the tests came back negative. And I have an uncle who's very loud and domineering. He was in the background saying, tell Junior, your God is good. So I like to say, praise God for God being good. Amen. The title of our message this morning is called The Time, The Season. The Time, The Season. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful, warm Sabbath day. We thank you for all your provisions you provide and the blessings you give. As we look at our society, our community, our culture, our environment, our heritage, our country, our nation, we see the winds of change, and it's changing not for the better. But you forecast that this must happen before the end of time because your soon coming is near. Nevertheless, we ask you to anchor us within your word, anchor us within your love. We ask you, dear God Jesus, to please pray for us as you did your disciple Peter. Please provide for us the strength, the courage, the confidence, and with answered prayers to survive here in this planet until you come. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes read several verses here. Once you've found it, please say amen. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. He, verse 11, hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The time, the season, the family, the classic American family. That Norman Rockwell painting, the portrait of a classic American household. Mom, dad, husband, wife, son and daughter. The dog and the cat. The house with that white picket fence and apple pie. That nostalgic classic American image. That universal global perspective that the world sees as the American portrait. Once accepted, embraced, valued and deeply rooted in biblical concepts and teachings, is now under attack. It's being questioned, it's being ridiculed, it is being redefined. What is a family? I was blessed to grow up in a household with a mom and a dad. Amen? Amen. Many people are not as blessed or as fortunate. And as I've grown older, I've taken value, stock, and appreciation for the sacrifices they've made, for the values they've taught. But these have become pillars, anchors. These have become fortresses that built this nation, that has built our community, and that has enhanced our society. But now that definition, that clarity, that portrait, is being questioned. It is being redefined. Many of our elective officials have changed their views and opinions, and positions and belief, and I guess they have the right to do so. But as God's chosen, what do? We should do what God does. Malachi 3:6. Write that down. Go home and look it up. For the first part says that, for I am the Lord God, I change not. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to question another person's value or opinion. But remember, our name first is Christian. Our name is not McKnight, Ford, Lawler, Langley, Moody. Our name is Christian. That's our first and last name. Can I get a witness? Amen. That creates an image. It forecasts a portrait. Our name is Christian. And as Christians, we aren't the architect. We're not the master designer. We're not the sculptor. We're not the painter. We're the portrait. Amen? It creates an image that has been forecast from the dawn of time. It creates an image that has been forecast and designed from the beginning of the age. We don't get a do-over. We don't get to reconstruct. We don't get to tear down. Now, if you change your name, you can change your image. But if you're going to have the image and possess the name, you must forecast the portrait. Amen? For we are Christians. From the beginning of time, since the dawn of man, since the Garden of Eden, our growth and maturation as human beings has been highlighted yet marred, has been uplifted and admonished by those who believed and followed God according to his word, and also by those who believe and followed according to their own thoughts. Everyone feels that they have a better tool in the toolbox. Oh, the instructions say to do it this way. I got an idea. Give me that thing right there. I can make it work. Don't follow the master plan. Just throw away the instructions that have been given that never had a need to do over, that never need to be fixed, changed, reconstructed. Just throw that away. I got a better idea. Let me go get that universal crescent wrench. Let me go jack this up. Let me go reconstruct. You go to the master designer to get done what needs to be completed. Amen? If a person is an expert in a field, you go to that expert. 17 years ago, had an opportunity to meet the Lawlers. Before I met Pam, I met Marty. I used to live in an apartment up on Pauling Avenue. Didn't know Marty before about a month. I was moving. Marty asks questions without saying a lot of words, if you know him. I was getting ready to move, and Marty said, "Where you going?" "And you're moving?" "Is that your car?" A whole conversation was had. He said, "When's your lease up?" I said, "Tomorrow." No lie. He said, "I'll be here about 12. That's what he told me. He said, "I'll be there at 12. Call my pops on the phone. I was going to get my Uncle Monroe. I have an uncle named Monroe. He was going to bring his truck up. And I told my dad. My dad said, "That's a good friend." He said, "Did you ask him?" I said, "He just volunteered out the blue." Amen. Showed up, and we moved. My landlord had a whole bunch of woodwork in her house. Started talking to Marty. She did not know what she was getting into. She thought she was an expert. She thought she was a professional. She thought she knew what she was doing. Marty just listened to what she wanted to do. And all he says, "That's not going to work." And she began to question me, because he questioned her. I said, "Hey, look, he's an expert. He has a shop in his house. He do X, Y, and Z." And so she asked him his name. Before I left that apartment, my landlord did a 411 on Marty. Called some people who knew Marty. Actually knew Marty's mom. Okay? Came upstairs. "So, Mr. Lawler, I didn't know. You know, I knew somebody who knows your mom." Had this long conversation. An expert. If I want to know something about medication or drugs, I would ask my wife. She's an expert. Even if I don't want to know, she'll tell me, "Don't take that." that medicine won't work. When I got married, half the cabinet got cleaned out. This don't, that don't work. It got, but I've been, don't work. I'm a materials engineer, a chemical engineer. But if I had to design something, one of my Lyon brothers is an architect, graduated from RPI. I would ask him, or I ask a professional like Annette. I would ask someone who's an expert. If I want to know about planting and farming, I would ask my brother, Brother Cleo. You go to the people who know they know what they're talking about, because you don't have to get a second opinion. Can I get a witness? You don't have to go back door and say, you know what, let me get another evaluation. The family was created to provide a balance, to provide an environment, to provide an incubator, if you will. So anybody under the age of 18, even at 18, you don't know what you're doing. I know at 18, I thought I knew the world. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'd be the first to admit it. Cocky? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a lot. But you need that guidance, young people. Age does not bring wisdom. You could be 101 and still take guidance. Amen? Amen. But it was developed to create this environment, this incubator, this nurturing ecosystem, this spiritual rainforest, if you will, where everything is luscious and green. Everything grows in its time and in its season. Everything is developed in such a way that it blossoms. Psychologists and sociologists have evaluated and defined at times dysfunctional homes as single-parent households. I take charge with this because this is not always true at times. Okay? But what they've attributed, men, is that a house without a dad or a father figure, things happen. Things happen. Mothers have been backbones, I know, in the African American family for legions of generations, and I'm pretty sure in other cultures and society. But as strong as the mothers are, and mothers, you are strong, many times you need another leaning post to lean upon. Many times you need that other anchor to buoy the ship upon. Okay? Many times you need that balance. Many times you need that other attribute that is just not you. No offense. As strong as my mother is, and my mother, when we was a kid, I used to nickname her Muhammad Sali. You need Angelo Dundee. And if anybody who knew who Muhammad Ali is, boxing proficionados, you know who Angelo Dundee was. Angelo Dundee was this strong stature of a man who passed away last year, who saw what no one else could see, despite all the brash and bravado. Angelo Dundee had another man by the name of Boudini Brown, and these two men shape and mold and allow him to be all that he could be. Angelo Dundee was the other anchor to that pendulum that made the phrases "float like a butterfly and sting like a bee" to be a reality. My father was a strong, silent type. He talked when he needed to. And as a kid, I knew how things were going in my life according to how my name was called. If I heard Junior, it's all good. It's sunshine, wind blowing in the breeze. It was good. But if I heard Pedro McKnight Jr., I was like, oh, Lord. What did, yeah, exactly. Not trouble coming, trouble has come. It's time to sit up right and pay attention. For where there's a strong woman, there is a strong man. Today, fathers, unfortunately, many of us have not maintained our responsibility. Many of us have not maintained our focus. Now, I will tell you this right now, and this is just my valued opinion, maybe because I am a dad. I think the devil attacks men with a little bit more veracity and force. Let me tell you why. If the devil can get the man to go left or right, even if that house stays at that corner with the same people remaining in it, it will not be stable. That's just my opinion based upon this. There are tons of examples. Because see, when a man can't provide for himself or his family, the psychology and the mentality is encroached and is put under pressure. Most men internalize everything. We're not voiceless. We don't go out on the corner and start beating our chests. We internalize everything because we've been built that you got to be strong. We've been built that you can't break down and shed a tear or cry or speak to somebody else and tell somebody else about your challenge or difficulties. We've been built to keep everything in its own compartment, to shut it down, to hold it down. In my neighborhood, when young men see each other walking in the street, we had a certain way we greeted each other. And one of the phrases they always ask you, are you holding it down? Now, people may not understand that, but that means, are you keeping it tight? Are you keeping it within? They don't want to see any weakness or signs of weakness. But I will tell you that every man has his season. Every woman has her challenges and seasons. I think about the story of Jacob. As treacherous as he was, he went through his season, not just for 7 years, but seven more, to get what he desired and wanted. And during that season, he was hazed. I'm not going to get into hazing 24/7 as deep as I would normally, but I will say this. There's different fashions of hazing. But if you're being permitted to be hazed by God, trust me, you will be hazed. Job was hazed. I have not been able to come to the prayer meetings on Friday night, but when I read the story of Job and I read it over and over again, I still have not found a time of how long Job's trial was. But I can tell you, he was hazed. Can I get a witness? Amen. Joseph, thrown into the pit as a child, grew up to a man, thrown back into prison as a person, taken out of prison, was hazed. From my calculation, looking at the story of Joseph, I count 23 years at minimum. That's some hazing. Noah preached for 100 years by himself with no support from his family members, extensions family. His sons and wife supported him. But that type of mental anguish and ridicule, that's some hazing going on. Men, I will tell you that when you cannot do the thing that you know you want to do the most, there are many things that you can do. And here we go. God has equipped you. God has given you the inalienable right and provision to be the priest of your home. To be the mentor, to be the coach, to be the spiritual anchor, to be the emotional anchor in your household. To be that disciplinarian, to be that visionary person. We're called to plant the seeds. To plant the seeds of faith in our children. To plant the seeds of integrity in our families. To plant the seeds of discipline. To plant the seeds of respect for womanhood. Can I get witness? To respect our mothers and our wives, our daughters and our sisters. To plant the seeds of respect, most of all for God, our Creator. To plant the seeds. These values and virtues are developed through time and seasons of life. These seeds must be properly cultivated. And they're done not in an instant. They're done over time. How many people here have a garden or grow a garden? Last Sunday when I called my mom, she was out gardening. The phone rang a couple times and Michael said, "Where's grandma?" I said, "I can't get her." He said, "Where's she at?" I said, "You know what? She's probably outside." And luckily I called her back. "Junior, I got to roll over here this, and I got to roll over here that, and I got to roll over here this, and I got to roll over here that." Gardening. I said, "What about the soil? The soil?" I kind of lost track after my dad died, but I caught back up with the soil track. My parents always had a garden, but every 7 years they used to let the earth rest, never planted on it. They used to go back and just put fertilizer, mulch, and a whole bunch of other minerals in that ground and just let it sit. My job when I came home over the summer used to be this: till it up. Where my grandmother lived, there's an empty lot in Rochester on Bartlett Avenue, down the street where my grandmother lived. To this day, the city hasn't built anything on it because my grandmother built this garden almost the size of a sanctuary. Okay? And she grew it, and she gave it away. Now check this out. Grandmother about this high, about tall as Joy. Where's Joy? About Joy's height, maybe a little bit shorter than Joy. Went up to some young man of notorious background, doing things that he shouldn't have been doing in that open lot. Young people don't want to be called that by somebody who knew them once they were. Don't like that. We had a barbecue. My grandmother and my aunt, oh my gracious, I get in trouble if I forget this lady's name. Aunt, it's just slipping my mind. It's my grandfather's sister. Went for a walk at a family barbecue. Now, I hate to say, as I get older, there's two sets of people in the family you look after very closely. Those who are very young and those who are very old. The young, you make sure they're in their place in their crib. If Michael were to roll off the floor and just be gone, trust me, the whole house would stop. Amen? You would search for him. Same thing with my son. If he got missing, you don't have to call 911. The whole block be shut down. Okay? The same with the very old. So at this family barbecue, my grandmother and my great aunt were missing. We were like, "Where'd they go?" Everybody's looking around. We're walking up and down. Could not find them. My grandmother walked down the street to this lot and went up to this, I'm not going to say this person's name because I still know him, this interesting character in Rochester, and told him, "What are you doing here? You weren't raised this way. I know your father. I know your mother. instantaneously, Miss Minnie, you shouldn't be here, nor should you. Miss Minnie, this is a dangerous place. I'm safe. Miss Minnie, I don't think you should stay here. This is a crazy place, crazy neighborhood. She said, the only person standing here is you. You call yourself crazy? You call yourself dangerous? Now, we're all looking for her. My cousin is walking down the street. He said, oh my gracious, there she go. So we run to catch up with my grandmother. Make a long story short, my grandmother turned this lot into a garden. And she gave it to all my uncles to take care of. She planted the seed and told us to go cultivate the ground. So my father, Uncle Pedro, Uncle Jacob, Uncle Monroe, Uncle Austin, Uncle Leroy, we all, over the summer, used to go to this lot and cultivate the ground. Cultivate the earth. Now, for those of you who have gardens, you realize that you got to eradicate the soil. You got to remove the rodents. You got to remove the reeds, the weeds, the crabgrass. It's all crucial in developing a successful garden. These seeds must be planted and fertilized with the soil, the vitamin, the nutrients. Plants come from seeds. Each seed contains a tiny plant waiting for the right condition to germinate to start to grow. What are the three things that the seeds need? You need water, number one. You need the correct temperature, the correct soil. Here in the Northeast, here in New England, the planting season I've grown up to know is always after Memorial Day. The earth is never warm enough until after Memorial Day. The earth is too cold until after Memorial Day. That's when the earth is warm. The second thing you need is a good location. Enough sunlight, enough moisture, enough airflow. During its early stages of growth, seedlings rely upon the food stored within its shell. Do you see the connection here? In the early stages of growth, seedlings survive with foods that are stored, that are planted, that are ingrained within their cell. Men, if we can't be the ultimate providers for our family at this time and season of our lives, we can always plant the seed. We can plant the seed of faith. We can plant the seeds of integrity. We can plant the seeds of responsibility. We can plant the seeds of manhood. We can plant the seeds of womanhood. We can plant the virtues of integrity. We can plant the virtues of honesty. We can plant the virtues of a good work ethic. We can plant the virtues of being wholesome, respectful. We can plant the seeds. Can I get a witness? The sunlight that we show towards our children will nurture and develop confidence. Confidence. Nobody can take that away from you. In due season, our season will change. Thank God rain doesn't last always. Thank God it's not always wintertime, even up here. It's not always wintertime. So men, there's many different things we can do to provide and create that atmosphere. You see, when you have a seed, I'm pretty sure you guys know this. You know the seed grows in two directions, right? The seed pops like this. It pops open, it goes, and then it goes down. It pops and goes down, and it plants roots that goes into the soil. And then the stem goes up and it's drawn by the light. That process is called photosynthesis. Any seventh, eighth graders here? Okay. You understand that, Philip? Is that correct? I got a witness back there. My science is right. So the topsoil goes to the top, which is photosynthesis. What happens then? Does it stop growing? Does it stop growing, Philip? No, it doesn't stop growing. It just breaks the surface of the earth. Its seeds are planted. Men, we have to make sure our family seeds are planted in God's word. We have to make sure our family seeds are planted in God's promises. We have to make sure our family seeds are planted in God's virtues. Our goal as a church, our focus over the next 3 years is discipleship. To be a disciple means that you must be trained. And part of that training is understanding what it takes to be the ultimate gardener, the ultimate grower. We have some very good gardeners and growers in our church family here. I'm serious. We got some good ones. We got Brother Marty back there, who has an awesome garden every year. I had a chance to get to know Brother Peter Thomas over the last year and a half. And I'm going to tell you, man, this is... I can't explain it. I'm Pat Riley of the 80s. I got Kareem and Magic on one team. I'm serious. Peter has a definition understanding of gardening. It's like old school. And Marty is just fabulous. It's fabulous. Let's look up what the master grower says. Let's look up what the master grower says. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, New Testament. Mark chapter 4, New Testament. The master grower. Mark chapter 4, New Testament. Once you find it, please say amen. Jesus and his disciples just came back from one of their excursions, one of their cruises, one of their outings on the Sea of Galilee. They came back, and I think it was midday. They probably had one of their morning fish fries. Nobody stoned me here. You can read it at the beginning of chapter 4. It says, Jesus at the seaside stood up in a boat and began to talk to the people. You don't go on the boat unless you're going fishing back in the day. Okay? It says, verse 3, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched and it became hard. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and they choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these are done in parables. That seeing that may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown in the stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. such as hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in, choking the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. When we plant seeds, and that seed begins to germinate and grow, it goes through a growing process, a painful process. That process does not happen overnight. But that growing process is necessary. It's required. It's like a prerequisite. It is essential for the seed's survival and transformation into a plant. This seed, this germination process, for in the life of a Christian, in the life of a young person, life of an adult, many times is undefined. Only God knows when you're fully matured, not just as a physical human being, but as a personal Christian, as his disciple. Amen? Even after their teaching for 3 years, were the disciples ready to go spread forth the gospel? Were they ready to spread forth the gospel? No. Jesus had already ascended from the Mount of Transfiguration. He had already gone back to heaven. But yet, they're at the point now where they're asking themselves, what else do we do? What else takes place? So the seedling now breaks the crust of the earth. You have a small plant. It's about to grow. What takes place now? What occurs now? It was within 6 months after the ascension of Jesus Christ that they had to gather together in a place called the upper room. It was in the upper room that an outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. And that outpouring of the Holy Spirit fused and seared and connected them to Christ in such a way that they had never been connected even when he was with them face to face. What I'm trying to tell you, as we plant these seeds in our family, as we plant these seeds in our hearts, our growth, unfortunately, doesn't take place until we're tested. Our growth does not take place until we're faced with the reality that now we must stand on our own. Our growth doesn't take place until we now break the crust of the earth and we're ready to blossom and come forth to the full maturation of what he would have us to be. We have to sow the living word. We have to sow within our heart God's living scriptures. God has entertained us and called us to this level of maturity and this level of maturation, men, because he has given us the responsibility to be his pillars and his anchors. Can we do it? Can we do it? That's awful weak. We can do it. We can do it. It can only be done by his power. We daily and weekly must have that upper room experience within our hearts through our devotion, through our Bible study, through our weekly Sabbath school lesson. We must sow the seeds of the living word. Our last text of scripture this morning will be taken from the New Testament also. Let's go over one book, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The training that takes place in a person's life, it's essential into how they face the trials and tribulations and the challenges, but also how they accept the victories. This is the chapter that describes Jesus' trial and tribulation in the wilderness. And it's interesting, in his biggest battle, sometimes I wonder, you know, I had the opportunity on TVN to see The Passion the other day. Excuse me. And I was wondering, was Jesus' trial and tribulation meeting Caiaphas, the high priest, or meeting Pilate, or meeting Herod at the trial for his life before the crucifixion? I said to myself, no, that wasn't his greatest trial. I think this was. This is like the summit. This is like Masters on day four. This weekend we have the U.S. Open. This is like the Super Bowl of challenges. Jesus Christ is being met after his baptism by Satan himself. For Satan now knows that this is the Christ. He said, but I'm going to test him. And if you read this story carefully, this story is written in the New Testament in three or four different places, but I want you to read it very carefully. For in all versions, Jesus fought this battle by living upon the living word, by saying, it is written. He didn't take ownership of anything on himself. He said, it is written. He didn't take upon ownership of being the master architect, the master designer. He said, you know what? It is written. And men, we need to take this on as our mantra, especially when things aren't right in our lives, especially when we're not meeting our own objectives in our mind. We must look within ourselves and say, you know what? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. That I am the head, not the tail. It is written. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is written. That he will contend with those who tend with me. It is written. That I will succeed. It is written. We need to have that mantra. Christ had this. Christ had this successfully. And the four temptations that he had, the first was hunger. Lucifer asked him to turn the stone into bread, and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, of God. The second temptation was the pride of life. He took him up to a high place. And he said, you know what? Not the pride of life, excuse me. He took him up to a place and said, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do. The angels have charge over thee to pick thee up. Cast yourself down. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Which means that we should not take for granted the things that we do. For guess what? People are watching us. I never knew how much people watched me as much as I do now. I got peering eyes all the time, I know. Looking around corners, asking, when you said that, what did you mean by that? Why did we go here? How long will this take? Have you ever tried to explain something to a little person and find yourself asking yourself, why in the world did I do that anyway? And you catch yourself and say, you know what? That don't have to be done. We don't need to do that. The next temptation was for God, Jesus himself, to yield his allegiance, his worship to something else. Sometimes in our lives, we could worship our job, we could worship our social status, we could worship our careers, we can worship ourselves. In verse 10, I'm reading out of the King James Version, it says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, it is imperative, men, that we be the compasses. In season, God will provide us with all the things that we need by his grace, but we need to be the compass, at least to go in the direction that God has sent us. Amen? He'll provide the provisions as we go. And trust me, it is hard. It is challenging. It is daunting. But unless we see it God's way, we will go our own way. And unfortunately, this book has so many examples of people who've tried it their own way, and it never works. You know, in the old TV show Tool Time, Tim Taylor was the guy who had the TV show, but people on the show knew that Al always did all the work. Tim messed up everything. He never wanted to follow instructions. He never went to the toolbox correctly. He always messed it up. But Al was always there to save it. God defined family as man and woman, not Pedro McKnight Jr. or anybody else. And if somebody asks you, why do you believe in what you believe, just tell them it's written. I didn't write it. It is written. I didn't design it. He did. He created the portrait. Our goal is to be a reflection of his image. Our goal is to be a reflection of his character. I'd like to wish you all happy Father's Day weekend. I'd like to wish all the men happy Father's Day. And I'd like to thank God for being our ultimate Father. Amen.